Shemrim Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
All Yovad Yisrael, Amarim Shema Yisrael.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Out of Darkness, was written by Morton Wishengrad.
This is a story to be told from the slopes of Mount Scopus. To reach Jerusalem, you must go up from the plains below. And to reach Mount Scopus, you must go up from Jerusalem. Perhaps you will ask, why should anyone wish to go higher than Jerusalem? I will tell you. On Mount Scopus, there stands a university and a hospital. And even if the way is barred by landmines and the sniper's bullet, men must nevertheless go up toward learning and toward mercy.
Dr. Yasky.
Yes, nurse.
The stretcher cases have all been loaded.
Everyone inside the buses?
Yes, doctor.
60 seconds, then.
Yes, sir. One more minute. One more minute.
The time was 9:30 a.m. The date was April 13, 1948, a Tuesday. The convoy had formed, and it was ready to proceed.
Attention, please! The Haganah Scout Car goes first. Dr. Yasky's ambulance follows us. The rest of you will maintain your present positions. Shalom!
Shalom. Convoy. 10 vehicles. 1 scout car, 4 ambulances, 2 hospital buses, 3 medical supply trucks. Cargo, food, drugs, personnel.
Keep in line!
The personnel is important. A handful of Haganah soldiers. Patients, laboratory workers, students, nurses, doctors. Quite a number of doctors. But one doctor especially. Dr. Chaim Yasky, medical director of Hadassah Hospital. April 13th, 1948. A convoy going out of Jerusalem up toward a university, up toward a hospital. By what design does a doctor ride an ambulance on the Scopus Road? The design for Chaim Yasky began in Odessa, in the province of Bessarabia. The year was 1919, and Chaim Yasky went to the medical college to say goodbye to his professor of ophthalmology.
Yasky, it's only a few more months. At least wait until you receive your degree.
What for, Professor? I'll only be arrested again.
Doesn't a diploma mean anything to you?
A great deal.
Well, then stay. Final examinations are a matter of weeks. You'll do well, Yasky. You'll do very well. No way.
My wife and I are sailing for Palestine.
I don't know. I've misunderstood you. I took you for a practical man. You're behaving like a romantic adolescent.
You haven't misunderstood me. I'm doing a practical thing.
Palestine?
Yes. Here, my classmates reproach me for being a Jew. You, Professor, you forgive me for it. My father, on the other hand, insists it's a great merit. I don't want to be reproached. I don't want to be forgiven. And I don't want to be praised for the way I was born. It seems to me that there, people will take it for granted and make no fuss about it. Goodbye, sir. I'll send you a postal card.
A design for traveling on the Scopus Road. Prerequisite for sitting in an ambulance that follows a scout car. Oh, there are many prerequisites. To leave the land where you are born and to come into a new land as an immigrant. To take a job, any job.
The position, Yasky, is a fine one. Sanitary inspector of the gathering of refuse in the Arab city of Jaffa.
You mean I'm a garbage collector? All right.
Of course it's all right. This is how you cleanse a land. You work hard.
I'll want some chemicals for disinfectant.
You want 1,000 times a week. You want hoses, carts, chemicals, deodorants. Yasky, garbage stinks, and you can't change it. You're fired.
Your wife supports you by giving French lessons. You borrow from your relatives to go to the medical school at Geneva. You receive a diploma in ophthalmology.
They say there are fine opportunities for eye doctors in England, America, and Brazil. But, well.
So you return to Palestine. It's now November 1921. You have no money. But there's trachoma in Palestine. The terrible granulation of the eyelids. The epidemic scarification of the cornea. Palestine is also an opportunity. And so you go to an eye clinic in the city of Haifa. A carpenter is putting up a new sign.
The Hadassah Eye Clinic.
How does it look, mister?
Looks all right.
It's a society of American ladies. Americans. You know what an American man is like?
Yes.
Well, an American woman is twice.
Twice what?
Just twice. If you want to know what I mean, go inside. There's a lady inside by the name of Henrietta Zold. You'll see. Just twice.
Sitting in the first ambulance on April 13th, 1948. Perhaps Chaim Yasky remembered. Perhaps he remembered many things. How he went through a door.
You are Miss Henrietta Zold?
Yes.
I was told that you need medical assistance.
We need everything.
My name is Yasky. I'm a doctor. My specialty is the eye. I can begin now.
Sit down, Dr. Yasky. Are you always so direct?
It saves time.
And I will also be direct.
Please.
We can't pay wages that amount to anything.
My wife teaches French and English. She has two pupils.
The little we can afford to pay, we can't even pay punctually.
If it will make it simpler, Miss Old, consider me a volunteer.
There's no advantage in that, Dr. Yasky.
But there is. You can't fire a volunteer.
I'm glad to know you, Dr. Yasky, because I also believe that the heart must lead and the feet must follow.
And so this is how you pay for a trip on the Scopus Road. You volunteer your brain and your heart. And so from the beginning, Chaim Yasky made his contribution.
Notice the large number of small elevations on the greatly thickened conjunctive. This raspberry effect is characteristic of the papillary form of trachoma.
And Henrietta Zold also taught Chaim Yasky. She taught...
neither to cringe, nor to blame, nor to complain, but to meet a people's needs through a people's own efforts.
It was a fair exchange. Wisdom for wisdom. Dr. Chaim Yasky and the fight against trachoma. Synonyms. By 1924, the public health fight had grown, and Chaim Yasky had grown.
Miss Zold will see you now.
Yasky was the director of the Department of Ophthalmology of Hadassah Hospital in Tel Aviv. But he was an impatient man.
Miss Old, we've been lucky. No trachoma in the cities, but in the settlements of Judea, it's as bad as it always was.
What do you want to do?
I want to take a look for myself. Nearly 50% of the rural Arab population is half blind with the disease.
We have no funds for a large-scale investigation.
I'll go myself.
How?
Horse, donkey, mule, doesn't matter.
A medical circuit rider.
All right. They say you can't begin a housing program without tearing down slums. Well, maybe I say that you can't build this land without doing something about the human slums. Maybe... well...
go on, Dr. Yasky.
I'm making a speech.
Go on.
There's something about this land that calls for clear eyes.
Very well. Chaim Yasky, I'm a rabbi's daughter. There's a verse in Isaiah. And Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of a book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity. and out of darkness.
On April 13, 1948, a man named Yasky traveled the Scopus Road going up toward learning and toward mercy. But in April 1924, a man named Yasky followed the design of his history astride the saddle of a donkey. And this also was preparation for the Scopus Road. For wherever Chaim Yasky went, he left behind him a control center in the war against darkness and sightlessness. He ventured into Arab districts where no stranger was welcome. He was a practical man. He carried a revolver. But it was not the revolver which gave him immunity. It was what he took out of his black satchel. Roller forceps, a small mirror on a metal disc, a box of spherical lenses, a syringe, curved scissors, an iris hook, eyelid retractors, sulfate of copper sticks.
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
What do you want?
I'm a doctor. How many children in your village?
30.
How many children with red eyes that run over with a thick green matter?
20.
How many children with eyes that are granular, like a frog's spawn?
Another 5.
Bring the children to me.
You will hurt them.
Yes, but I shall also make them well.
Why?
I'm a doctor. We do not ask who the sick one is. We ask why he is sick. Then we help him.
Yusuf! Yusuf is my own son. His eyes are red and running over with the green matter, like you say.
Don't be afraid, Yusuf. Has he brothers and sisters?
He got 4 brothers, 2 sisters.
What is that rag in his hand?
For his eyes.
Burn it.
It's a good rag. His brothers use it, too.
Burn it. This is soap. From now on, you will see that his hands are always clean, that he will not touch anyone with his hands. Now, tell him to come here.
I do not wish him to.
Look at your own eyes. They are scarred over and cloudy. Yusuf can have clear eyes.
To point gun and shoot straight?
Eyes are meant for better things.
But the gun?
As you wish.
All right. Yusuf, go to the doctor.
Chaim Yasky's work was primarily in the Jewish settlements, but he was able to see the land as a whole, Arab as well as Jew, malaria as well as trachoma, and babies dead with typhus and mothers dead in childbirth. And an ancient, holy land waiting to be cleansed and redeemed from desolation and reborn through labor and learning and mercy.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim.
The pioneers made their way to Eretz Yisrael. In the steerage of leaky ships, they sailed to the coastal cities. When they went out of the cities to go to the earth, Chaim Yasky went in spirit with them. In 1928, Dr. Yasky was named assistant medical director. In 1931, medical director. The pioneers, the Chalutzim, they sang their psalms of toil. They praised God with a gleaming shovel and with a plow that cut a straight furrow. And Chaim Yasky also praised God with a site on Mount Scopus for a great hospital and blueprints for clinics and a greater program of health stations to protect the children of pioneers. This is how you earn the right to travel in a medical convoy from Jerusalem to Mount Scopus. April 13, 1948 is only a single day, the successor to former days. For instance, there was a day on which Britain found herself at war.
Major, I am instructed to place the services of our entire personnel at the disposal of the Middle East Command.
Thank you, Dr. Yasky. We are deeply grateful.
The Middle East Command had many reasons for gratitude. There was malaria in the Middle East, but not in Palestine. There was bubonic plague and typhus and cholera, but not in Palestine. The hospital and the Hebrew University opened their gates to the physicians of the Eighth Army and trained them. And then, the war ended. It ended for everyone else, but not for the land of Israel, and not for the people of Israel.
Dr. Yasky, what is it?
Get away from that window, nurse. Get your head down. The hospital is being fired upon. Nurse, quickly, go to your patients. Tell your patients to be calm.
There is a venerable document known as the Geneva Convention. It forbids as uncivilized any attack against hospitals, ambulances, and medical personnel. On January 2nd, 1948, Nurse Hannah Gardy was instantly killed by a sniper's bullet. Thereafter, for the next 100 days, there was to be very little calm in the wards and laboratories of a hospital on Mount Scopus. It is difficult to maintain the normal operations of a civilian hospital under conditions of undeclared war.
Doctor, come quickly. The patient in 331, she's gone into premature labor.
It is also somewhat difficult to perform an operation for the removal of a brain tumor when hospital orderlies are racing down the corridors, blood streaming from their faces. Yet, these considerations seem unimportant beside the major difficulties.
Dr. Yasky, we've got to have more heat. Patients are wrapped in blankets.
My cardiacs need 3 tanks of oxygen. I've put in 12 requisitions, Dr. Yasky.
Doctor, my nurses can't tend their patients if the water taps are shut down.
Any other complaints?
There isn't much food left.
Exactly. Not much food, not much water, not much oxygen. Not much of anything. We're on priorities. The operating theaters get heat first. They'll get water first. They'll get oxygen first.
But Dr. Yasky, we can't just sit here and pray that convoys get through.
The Mount Scopus Road is under siege. It isn't just a matter of supplies coming through. There are desperately sick and mortally wounded people in Jerusalem. They've got to get to us.
Or else we've got to get to them. Quit Mount Scopus.
That's quite a decision to make, isn't it? This is just a hospital. But that doesn't say what this hospital is, does it? If we have to abandon this hospital, well, I don't want to see it. No. No, I don't.
They still remember how he said that. But Chaim Yasky was not merely the administrator of a hospital. He was the chief public health officer of Eretz Yisrael. He was the man with a plan for a great new medical college. He was a dreamer who knew how to fix his ladder firmly upon the solid, practical ground in order to climb upward. And all the dreams were contained within the physical framework of the hospital. On April 2nd, 1948, he dictated a letter to America. He spoke slowly, heavily, for in a way he was speaking of death.
We will hang on for as long as humanly possible, and for as long as we can offer the patients the essential medical services. That's all for now. I want to go out.
Chaim Yasky closed the door of his office. He went into the garden of the hospital. In May, the marigolds would blossom. But it was not the month of May. In June, the dark roses would smolder along the vine. And in July, the scent of jasmine would lie upon Mount Scopus like the blessing of the high priest in the Temple of Solomon. But it was only April 2nd, and spring had come very late. There was nothing growing in the garden, except a shadow on a wall. April 2nd. And on April 13th, a convoy would depart from Jerusalem to climb upward. It is 9:30 a.m., Tuesday morning, April 13th, 1948. The 10 vehicles of the convoy, their sides plainly showing the hospital insignia of the Red Star of David, have passed Nablus Road and Saldin Road. Sheikh Yara, where the Grand Mufti lived, is a moment away. Then there is left only the short half-mile to Scopus between Antonius House on the left and a pillbox on the right. It was all perfectly safe. In Jerusalem, an officer had said to Dr. Yasky,
"The Scopus Road is clear."
"You are certain?"
"Yes, Doctor."
"We're bringing food, medical supplies, doctors, nurses, and patients. We've got to be certain."
"I said the road was clear."
"Yes, of course, you did say so. I beg your pardon."
This was sufficient assurance, wasn't it? Besides, a representative of the International Red Cross had made an appeal to both sides to observe the provisions of the Geneva Convention and refrain from attack on medical personnel.
"Monsieur, our people have always respected the Geneva Convention, but I call to your attention 25 violations against our hospital buses and ambulances in the last 2 months. However, I accept your assurance that we can transport our personnel and our patients without fear.
9:30 a.m. Convoy. Doctors, nurses, laboratory technicians, students, professors, patients. Convoy on the Scopus Road, mounting toward a hill of learning and mercy. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of a book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The scout car in front. The ambulances, the buses, the trucks behind. 9:37 a.m. The crossroads of Ramallah on the Scopus Road. 9:38. In sight of the pillbox. The ambush was prepared and waiting. A landmine had exploded under the leading scout car. The first four vehicles were trapped. The scout car, Chaim Yasky's ambulance, two busloads of nurses and doctors and students. In the ambulance, trapped immediately behind the scout car, was Chaim Yasky, his wife, Dr. J.M. Bromberg, Dr. Z.M. Polishuk, and patients, some of them desperately wounded stretcher cases.
Dr. Yasky, are you all right?
It's a slight wound on the foot. How are you back there?
All right so far. That was a good shot to come through such a narrow slit in the armor of the ambulance.
I wonder if among the Arabs in the ambush there could be a young man named Yusuf.
A ring of rifle fire, machine gun fire, mortar shells.
10 a.m.
An unremitting spray of death.
11 a.m.
There was added now the sound of guns.
12 noon.
In the pillbox, 100 yards from the ambush, an officer was surveying the engagement with impartial detachment.
1 p.m.
At 2 p.m., Chaim Yasky looked back toward the buses behind. There was a new sound.
Keep away from the windows, nurse. Don't look back.
What is it, Dr. Yasky?
They are attacking the buses with flamethrowers.
Burnt offering unto the Lord upon Mount Scopus. They died. They were murdered. 75 doctors, nurses, laboratory technicians, university professors, students, patients. Not ordinary men and women. Dr. Leonid Doljansky, internationally famous cancer research scientist. Dr. Moshe Ben David, executive director of the Hebrew University. The heads of the medical departments. The heads of the laboratories. 75 men and women who had aspired to the mountain of the Lord, whereon justice and peace are met together and truth rises out of the ground. Dead. 76.
Dr. Yasky.
The bullet had gone through Chaim Yasky's liver. Chaim, a word which means life. They carried him gently to the driver's seat. And Chaim Yasky, in the 51st year of his life and the 30th year of his service, nodded his head in resignation.
Shalom.
And went into the land of obscurity and thick darkness. They gathered the dead that night, and the reporters met the living who had come forth from a place in hell.
It's an awful thing to be congratulated on being alive.
She wiped her face.
I couldn't pick better people to die with. I would rather be alive with them.
The simple stories begin with birth, they end with death. But this is not a simple story. And the Chaim Yaskis of Eretz Yisrael do not die easily, nor do they remain dead. For whatever their origins, they came into a land which transfigured them. They stood in the footsteps of sages and prophets, and they were ennobled. A hospital stands upon a hill. Mercy still endures. The doctors and the nurses of Hadassah Hospital are dispersed throughout a holy land according to a plan conceived by a man named Yaski. And we in America, we look eastward across a space of ocean and a distance of air, and we are not put to shame.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, Out of Darkness, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Dr. Yosky was Peter Capel, and Norman Rose was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.